Welcome you here to our Wednesday Lenten service. We're looking toward the fourth Sunday in Lent. Also, those of you that have joined us on our phone patch and via our Facebook Live. Let's open with song number 86, and then if you would think of some more to choices, and we'll sing a number of songs. Number 86. Has a song. We have the three different books, the supplement, the pamphlet, and our blue book.
'82
in the blue book.
Mm-hmm.
Who else has a song?
83.
Number 83. In our blue book. And then after this, Hans will lead us in opening prayer. Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come this evening in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, He of whom we have been singing, He of that great redemption story that we come even this evening to consider the atonement given, the burden of sin that was borne, but even looking ahead when we know this story, we love this story and the finished work, the completed work that the cross is empty, that the tomb is empty, and that our joy is full, even as Christ has told us. And yet there are times in life where we do continue to notice our weakness, to feel our emptiness. But oh, what a blessing it is when we can come to the hearing of the word, to know that we do have to be empty for Him to fill with His love, with His power, and with His grace. So we are thankful this evening, Father. We want to remember there are several that we think of. We think of Christine and her brother and the family as the passing of their mother. Be with them as only you can, Father, the peace that passes understanding, the Holy Spirit as the comforter, and also the family of Sonia George with the recent passing of her. And there are others, Father, that have health concerns and that have perhaps medical concerns or financial concerns, but you know, and we bring them to you this evening, Father. Continue to be with this congregation. Be with the word that is preached. Be with us, the hearers, that we would continue to be able to gather, that we would continue to be able to shine your light of love to the world that is lost and dying. Now, Father, we offer the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Another song. Number 10 in the pamphlet. Thank you.
sing number 15 from the same pamphlet, and then we'll turn to our time of meditation. Number 15. You with the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May he be with you not only this day, but ever henceforth. Amen. Is it possible to have so many favorites? These songs and these hymns that we are able to sing and express sometimes the thoughts that we can't vocalize with our minds. These songwriters have put together and brought to us such treasure. I think this last song that we sang rates right up there with one of my 1,000 favorites, I guess. The fact that we can have many favorites is a blessing. We have a God who understands the needs that we have. You know, our needs are different as we journey in life, as time goes on, and yet to have a God who has reached out and searched, known our hearts. You know, what a blessing to have a God that is so close. You know, when we see the gods that others have, men have manufactured or have attempted to describe, it's always a distant God. It's a fearful God. And even though we know that, as Luther says, we should fear and love God, it's a reverence. It's a knowing the power that he has, probably a common term would be the awesomeness of our God. You know, be able to recognize his great love for us, in spite of who we are. The recognition is that he continues to abide with us. You know, when we find ourselves to be so often empty of, you know, the seems that we can't even approach God, and yet He continues to beckon. He says, come. And that is the blessing that we know, is that this word that has been intended is a word for each one of us. You know, the fact that in, as the prophet Isaiah said, for unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given. You know, it's a personal acknowledgement and knowledge of who this God is, that he has sent his son into this world for each one of us. We're going to turn tonight to the 50th chapter of the prophet Isaiah. That is found on page 546 in the Pew Bible. I trust that you've been spending time in meditation and reading. There's so many sources to look at and to see this word as it has been brought out throughout the various seasons of not only the church year, but I think the seasons of our lives. You know, we have that blessing to know that we have a God who's caused this word to be effective. He has promised that it is going to go out and accomplish that which he has sent it to do. The prophet Isaiah makes that very clear. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Isn't that amazing? Nothing else no one else can do that. But it is God through the work of the Spirit as he has caused his word to become alive. Christ Jesus has become alive for us in that sense that we have come to know him. So we're going to read the 11 verses of chapter 50. We'll read, beginning with verse 1, reading in Jesus' name. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, your iniquities, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened thine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I am not to be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Amen. When we think of the time of Lent and of Easter, you know, I guess we automatically go to the New Testament, don't we? We automatically go to the accounts that the Gospels have laid out for us, and I think it's important for us to do that. I would certainly encourage us to look into the various portions that have been recorded about the the suffering that Jesus came to do, the time that he spent with his disciples before that. There is a myriad of messages there that we see in what Jesus came to accomplish for us. We see the disciples in a light that we really see ourselves. You know, and those disciples were representatives of us. I think it's important to be able to know exactly what that cost is, what it has been, that we don't forget what God has accomplished for us. The prophet Isaiah here in the 51st chapter, he says, "Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and unto the hole of the pit whence ye are digged." In other words, remember what was done for you, because it was for you, for the entire world. But how important is that, that we know personally that it was for me that Christ suffered and died? You know, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, you know, those words are broken for you. They're given and shed for you, for the remission of your sins. You know, that "for you" is an important two words for us to know. And the prophet Isaiah, as he went through his time, he lived in a time very much like ours. You know, I think sometimes we look at those prophets and say, well, they had a whole different world. The political world around him, the religious world around him wasn't any different than what we see around us today. Yes, and in a different form, they dressed differently, but they faced the exact same problems. They faced their humanity. They faced the evil that was in the world. They faced Satan as he attempted to deceive, they faced him, most importantly, perhaps, their own flesh, just as we also do. The knowledge that we are sinners, you know, we want to cover that up. How important for us is it to know the gospel? That those sins have been covered, not because we have hidden them or been able to run away from them, but because Christ has died for us. You know, that's the essence of the gospel, is to know that your sins are forgiven. You know, we had that song in Sunday school, you know, of Zacchaeus. "Oh, yes, my friend, there's something more than gold. To know your sins are all forgiven is something more than gold." You know, and it's not something that we want to find that gets old in our lives, because that is the core of what God has done for us. It assures us in our hearts so that we can go forth and share this message of the gospel with the world around us. It brings to us the power that only Christ can bring, because our sins are forgiven. Why? Because we are in Christ. Because Christ has done it for us. And there's no other way that we can find ourselves to be absolved of that sin other than to know that through this blood that Jesus shed for us, and because of the name given above every name, that our names are written in that Lamb's Book of Life. And it was the same struggle that the children of Israel had, you know. And this prophet, he begins writing the early chapters of his book are very much about the world around him and the struggles that they had. But the fact that he begins in the 40th chapter with those words, comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. She has received the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. He begins to express the power of the gospel. You know, and many of the commentators have attempted to say, well, this was a second Isaiah. You know, but I think the record that has been kept show to us this is one book. This is one work that God has given through this prophet that was able to speak to his people. Because God had spoken to his heart. He had come to know this righteous and holy God. If you go back to the 6th chapter, you know, he looked and saw a God who was holy, thrice holy. And he had that testimony of that the gospel brings, that live coal would be upon his lips and that his iniquity would be purged. It was the same message to this prophet. And so he's speaking to his people here in this 50th chapter. And he opens what he says, "Thus saith the Lord." He's speaking, you know, as the Lord would speak to his children. You know, he says, "Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? And which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you?" You know, he speaks in terms that they understood, because Back in that day, you know, if a man was dissatisfied with his wife, he could write her a bill of divorcement, and she was free to go from that household. And he's asking a question. He says, "Where is it?" He says, "I haven't given you one. You know, why is it that you've moved so far away from me? Why have you left me?" He says, or "Why have you? Which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you?" It was common in those days, especially with those that were poor, to put their children out, not to necessarily to slavery. They became servants. They became bond servants to the individuals that could afford it, and they would work for 6 years, and then they were given an option to get their freedom, or they could stay with that household if it was a place that it was a blessing to them. So much different than what we comprehend in our day. But the prophet is using that terminology to reach them and say, he says, "To whom have I sold you? Behold, your iniquities have ye, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away." In other words, you have moved away from me. We have a God who does not change. He has remained constant. The children of Israel had moved away, and I think perhaps we find that within our own lives sometimes. We feel like we're prone to wander, as the songwriter has made known. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. You know, the contradictions that we find within our own hearts and our minds. Well, the Lord is addressing that. He's saying, I understand, I know what you are facing. He says, "Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and it dieth, and dieth for thirst." In other words, he says, my strength is the same. You know, he was reminding them of the fact that he had dried up the sea, going back to the crossing of the Red Sea by the children of Israel. You know, the word tells us they didn't just walk through on mud. They walked across on dry land, as incredible as that might be. But that is what he is reminding them. He says, I make the rivers a wilderness. In other words, when he determines that there will be no more water, the rivers become a wilderness. And then he says, I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth for their covering. Reminding them of, once again, going back to Moses and how Moses was able to cause a darkness to come upon the land. You know, and many have looked at this portion of sackcloth as, you know, the sorrow that there was when the heavens once again went dark. You know, when the face of the sun was no longer seen there at the crucifixion of our Lord. The fact is that he says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. So he's beginning to see here as the Lord is opening up to his children and to us of this Christ that is to come. The one who is able to bring to us, who has that tongue of the learned. He who is the Word, right? What does John tell us in the first of the Gospel? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's what the prophet here was seeing through the eyes of faith. The one who is able to speak a word in season to him that is weary. That's what the Gospel brings to us, doesn't it? It brings us comfort and strength because it is God's Word that supplies unto us. He says, the Lord God hath opened my ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away. Now we begin to see the obedience that came when Jesus walked upon this earth. You know, it's very difficult, I think, for our minds to see this who was a righteous and holy God, who was a part of the triune Godhead, that he would bring himself to this earth. He who was without sin took upon himself what we could not do. He says, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and from spitting. Those were the greatest humiliation that the Jewish men would face was to be spit upon and to have their beards pulled out. You know, here, this is Jesus here who has accomplished for us that which we could not do, the humiliation that was a part of the sin debt of the world. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. You know, when we think about Jesus and how steadfastly he set his eyes towards Jerusalem, the Gospel of Luke tells us this. It says, and it came to pass, this is in the 9th chapter of Luke, verses 51, he says, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Like flint. The flint was a stone that was so hard that it was often used as a cutting tool. He was not going to turn from that which his Father had sent him to do. And aren't we thankful for that? That for the joy that was set before him, he endured that cross. The fact that he continued here, as Luke says, he says, and he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, and they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw that, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume these, even as Elias did? In other words, the thoughts of man are so different. But he turned and said and rebuked them, saying, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. In other words, we have a God that we do not need to fear, because he has come with that promise of the gospel. He has come with that desire to bring redemption unto all of humanity. He says, I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Remember in the garden as Jesus was praying, how difficult a place that must have been as he sweat, as were great, the sweat was came as drops of blood. You know, and as he prayed there, he had to cry out. He said, Father, if it be that, you know, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but thy will be done. He turned to, in knowing that in order for him to accomplish your salvation and mine, he had to continue to go forward. He says, let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? They all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. In other words, when we are in Christ, there is no one that can condemn us. You know, and I believe that this prophet, and many have looked at what this prophet has written, what the Apostle Paul has written in the latter part of the 8th chapter of Romans. You know, the recognition that we have is that this was Christ's work for us, to bring to us a salvation so sure that no one could remove it from us. Paul writes this, he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long and are counted as sheep for slaughter. Yea, no, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's the power that God in Christ brings into our hearts and into our lives through this message of the gospel. And oh, that this message would continue to be a gospel that would be precious to us, because he asks that question. He says, the Lord God will help me. He says, who is he that shall condemn me? They shall wax old as a garment, and the moth shall eat them up. He says, who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. In other words, when we feel like we are straying, we are perhaps distant from our God, He says, no, he says, come back. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest where? Unto your souls. This is the focus that our God has, is that we would find rest unto our souls. He says, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. He says, when you go away, and there were many that went away from following after the one true God in Israel and even unto this day. He says, you will go away in sorrow. But we know the promise is that we have a God who has loved us with an eternal love, who continues to beckon to us, to supply unto us that which only he can bring. The prophet Isaiah writes in his 55th chapter, he writes this. He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. He says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in its fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. A God who desires to bring to us that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that only he can bring. The gift that we know, as the prophet has proclaimed unto us, the power that this word has, that Christ has in our lives, to bring that work of righteousness. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. And oh, that would be not only unto us that are gathered here, but unto all of humanity. They've come to know the power that this gospel message, because it truly brings life. A life that is so far beyond our understanding with our natural minds, but a life that faith points our eyes to heaven, that one day we will be able to sing that eternal song of salvation. To him be all honor, glory, power, and dominion. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's ask the Lord to humble our hearts in closing prayer and in benediction. Gracious Father, we thank you for a word that is eternal. Continue to strengthen us each and every day. Cause our hearts to look upon that which Jesus has accomplished for us, knowing that work of the cross was completed through his resurrection and through his ascension, as he sits upon your right hand making intercession for us at this very moment in time. Strengthen us, Father, each and every day with that love that you have for all of humanity. This we ask in Jesus' name. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Who has a song? About 133 from our blue book. Thank you.
Thank you.